I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
We're following Jesus' journey from his baptism to his resurrection and ascension. And as you know, if you've been here since Easter, we decided to jump ahead and knock out two of those three. I saw how long it was going to take us to get there. I was like, no, we got to jump ahead. So we took on the resurrection, the ascension, and now we're simply returning to where we were a little less than 2 years before the resurrection, crucifixion. We are returning, and so here's just a little update. I'll put up some pictures to hopefully jog your memories, and if you weren't here, it'll just bring you up to speed. But we are jumping back to the point just after he chose his 12, cured a centurion's servant, then raised the widow's son from the dead, healed the leper, and caused his leprosy to fall off in front of everyone. That was incredible. Then returned to his hometown, new hometown, and home office in Capernaum. We know where his office was. We've created the little building, but that's where his office was. It is a parking lot-sized fishing village. That'll put it in scale for you. Parking lot-sized fishing village that at this point in his ministry, in which he had completely stepped into rock star status, it was crushed by crowds in the tens of thousands, we're told. And this is an accurate portrayal of what the town would have, the village would have looked like at this point in Jesus' ministry. I don't think those are ruins. I think that's just how they left the place. They excise a crowd. You just trash the place. And it is here that he delivers a man who was blind but now sees in front of this crowd. This same guy was deaf but now hears. He was mute but now speaks. He was even demon-possessed and now is free. And that is a grand slam. That if you're going to do a miracle in front of this crowd, and remember the religious rulers had come down from Jerusalem to judge him. They are there as well. It's quite a miracle. It says the astonished crowd asks the religious rulers, if this guy meets the messianic requirements for the Son of David. And though they know he does, they tell this crowd that his powers are not messianic, but they are satanic. You may recall, because this is where we left off here, Jesus publicly calls these religious rulers out of the crowd. Nobody calls. These are the mob bosses, and nobody calls them out of the crowd, confronts them, corrects them because of the power, the merciless authority. Well, just a reminder, I'll just quote scripture. Jesus calls them out in front of the crowd and calls them evil sons of toxic snakes, full of darkness and demons, adulterous, blasphemous, enemies of God's Spirit, condemned to hell. Tell us how you really feel, Jesus. It's just so fun to collect those from the different versions of the story. Different writers add different things he said, but you put them all together, and this is what you get. And then you understand why it is at this moment that his family arrives and says he's out of his mind. And they try to take him by force before he gets himself killed. But they can't get near him because of the crowd. And that's when the mob boss snakes ask him to brunch, just Jesus. And he goes. After all of that, one of them says, you want to join us for lunch? And he says, sure, why not? Now, this is right where we left off. He goes to lunch with these snakes. He doesn't wash after just laying hands on all the diseased. And then he starts sharing their food, which in that day was all finger food. You used your fingers and your right hand to eat. And as he dips his hand, brilliantly, he at that moment then addresses the fact that these guys are way too focused on cleaning the outside of the dish and not caring about what goes in. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. And then he serves up the six woes of the scribes and Pharisees. And that's where we left off, and that's where we'll pick up right now. We're going to weave together Matthew and Mark. Thanks to Matthew, we know it's the same day. Again, Mark's in blue, Matthew's in purple. Again, that same day, Jesus went out of the house, began to teach by the lake, same lake that he returns to after his ascension, when he meets with the disciples and the crowd that last time, same lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. Then he told them many things in parables, and that will be occupying our next several weeks. Told them many things in parables, and in his teaching said, listen. And so instead of weaving together the parable, which you can, and we will next week, but I had to get the red chair out because if you remember, we took the red chair, and if you don't know what the red chair is, we used to take it around somewhere in the valley, and we would place it, and I would just read a parable. Well, this is the third one we ever filmed, and I don't know if you'll be shocked. I was surprised that it was almost 10 years ago. It was 9 years and 4 months ago that we filmed this. Oh, where does the time go? Haven't showed it since. But we would take the chair. In this case, the parable is of the four soils and the sower. So we found a landscaping place that had a bunch of dirt. And we would just pull up in these places, guerrilla style. And I remember this place. Got out, had a little flower pot. Asked, hey, can we film me reading? We want to put this in the dirt and want to read a parable. Sure. And then we asked the guy, and I have a flower pot. Would you be willing to fill it with dirt on camera? And he said, okay. How? And then we told him, and then we talked him into it. And here it is. To gardening, do you have a green thumb? Or do you struggle just to keep your plants alive? As good gardeners know, it's all about the soil. I like plastic plants. They seem to thrive in my neglect. Once, when Jesus was speaking to a large crowd, he told them about a farmer who planted his seeds in four types of soil, but only one produced a healthy crop. As we listen to Jesus' words, we need to ask ourselves an important question. What type of soil am I giving God to work with? Let's read from Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 2. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or 100 times. Then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word,
accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown.
Plastic plants thrive in our neglect. So does plastic faith. It's the same thing, but neither one is real. So in this story, this analogy of the seeds, what is the seed? What does the seed represent? The Word of God. And what represents us? What are we in the story? The soil. We are the dirt. And that is so appropriate, right? Adam was formed from the ground, and we are dust, the scripture says. Here's how it worked. Farmers would cast the seed and then scratch or rake it into the soil and even it out. And that's, everybody knew that. The parables are my favorite by far of all the teachings in scripture, because they're straight from the mouth of Jesus, the greatest communicator ever. And they're so deceptively simple. But the more you look at them, the deeper they go. And it's like, all right, we happen to have a soil expert in our church, and I was chatting with him after service, and he was letting me know things that only he would really appreciate, but knowing the science of it, and just looking at this going, do you know the teaching that's in here for a person who's an expert in soils? Well, I would expect that, since Jesus invented soil. So Jesus places his listeners in four categories by simply and brilliantly portraying them as soil, and in so doing, simultaneously reveals to us Satan's three weapons against our reception of his word. But he is talking about those in the crowd who are listening. He's on the shore, Capernaum, and he's basically saying, look, there's four types here. There's four types here. I find that I'm kind of a mix of all four, and I think we all are to some degree, and the goal is to get the bad one's down, the good one up. Get that good soil as rich as possible. He says some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. Paths are necessary in a garden. That's what you walk on to throw the seed. But paths get trampled on. It's just the way it is. He's not saying paths are bad. He's saying paths are a reality, and the soil on paths gets trampled on, trodden down, walked on, and therefore becomes hardened. Just like us. But that prevents the seed from even beginning to sink in. Hard hearts. These are those with hard hearts. Either they too hard to comprehend, don't want to comprehend, just don't care, or often mistrust. Mistrust the very idea of grace and goodness freely given. So we need to do a soil test. How hard is our heart? Because our soil might be impenetrable. And it's easy to think of this as someone asking Jesus to be their Savior. Yes, but this is much more than that. This is at any point that God is asking us to grow, to open up to His Word. Do you have soil that is impenetrable, closed mind, calloused heart, non-compliant will equals concrete path? Usually the result, a mixture of our past and our pride and misguided self-protection. Whatever it is, when God's got something new for us, our first response is usually a step back. Whoa. When the Lord calls us to open up in a deeper way to His Word and our growth, Satan will be right there on the path, right there to peck away at our fear and pride. Fear and pride. Oh, if I were you, I would be afraid of what God is going to demand you to change. Oh, you know what? Think about others. Don't you have self-respect? What will others think if you admit your faults and flaws? And I would think you'd be angry with God. He's the one that allowed all this suffering in your life. He's the one really responsible. Satan's right. Peck, peck, peck. Pride and fear. I don't know if you can see it. I chose this picture on purpose because this is Israel, And I don't know if you can see it, but there's two people walking on a hard path, and it's just coincidence that they show up right in the bird's mouth. Peck, peck, peck on the hard path. Oh, fear and pride, you got to see it for what it is. This is the tactic that is used against a hardened heart, used against whichever part of your soft heart is hard. If you have a hard part in your heart, this will be used. Fear and pride, fear, peck, peck, peck. Whatever the cause of a compacted heart, your enemy don't care. He's going to take advantage of whatever opportunity you afford him, and it usually comes in the package of fear and pride. So don't fall into the enemy's hands, and especially his beak. Peck, 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 turn it into trust. Trust God. Humble yourself. And here's the hard one. Forgive. Forgive whatever and whoever needs forgiven. Forgive. Trust, humble, forgive. If you want to get rid of the peck, peck, peck. If you want to be the good soil, you must, as James says, humbly accept the word planted in you. It's a free gift, but there's action and effort required. Just like when someone gives you a gift, you have to take action and make the effort of taking it from them. It's not a big effort. But for whatever reason, we make it a lot more work on ourselves to accept God's free gift of eternal life and joy and peace. But we gotta act and accept. Open your mind, soften your heart, surrender your will, or surrender you will. And you will be robbed of all that could have been. Peck, 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 peck. Jesus goes on. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. I see this all the time. Receive it with joy, but since they have no root, some translations say, but since they are shallow, they have only a short time. They last only a short time. Shallow soil was common in Jesus' day, and it concealed the stone beneath the surface. Oh, and this is just good because this is just science. The shallow dirt over the stone in that climate held the heat, which did three things. It caused the seed to sprout quickly, but it also caused the water to evaporate quickly, which then in turn caused the plant to wither quickly. Same heat that caused the sprout caused the withering. And in the parable, these are those who emotionally, impulsively welcome God's word with short-lived enthusiasm. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Because that's me sometimes. Raise your hand if that's ever been you. Just curious. Look around. This is a boat, and we're all in it together. Okay? Yeah, I wish that wasn't. There's so good intentions, right? Good intentions. Soil test. Our soil might be shallow. It is shallow. You just got to decide where it's shallow and go to work. Go to work on it. The rule of thumb, and it's not a green thumb here, the rule of thumb on this shallow soil is that truth does sink in a little. It just never really takes root because that takes effort. That takes the effort of accepting the gift of God's word. Of receiving, of being the soil that receives the seed. I like this. You've heard me say before, if you receive something out of emotion, you tend to reject it out of emotion. It's emotion. Here's another way of saying that. I read this and thought, that's good. That's why those who are first to germinate are generally first to terminate. It kind of says this. So how do you tell if your roots reach deep? How do you know if your roots go down deep? It's pretty simple, and he gives us the answer. Turn up the heat. Turn up the heat. Our roots are revealed by how we respond when the heat is on. Jesus says it this way. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, like, you know, either do it your way or the way of the word, they quickly fall away. They surrender. They give up. Faith feelings, if faith is based, I should have read further, I was ahead in my mind. If faith is based on feelings, which are a wonderful starting point, horrible ending point, wonderful starting point, feelings can propel me to start doing what it takes to put down my roots. But if faith is totally based on feelings and not rooted in God's word, then just as the same heat that germinates terminates the plant, so too, and this is really interesting, so too, in that same way, the same troubles that will drive us to the Lord with our emotions will drive us away from the Lord because of our emotions. It's a one-to-one analogy here. It's like, oh, everything's going wrong. I need God. And so I get God. And then things keep going wrong. Or the same problem comes back. He's like, well, if he was really God, he wouldn't let this happen. Same heat, but no roots. Test the soil. Here's a question. When desire conflicts with faith, which do you ditch? The good dirt ditches the desires. That doesn't line up with God's word. The shallow ditch the faith. That don't line up with my desires. Which do you ditch? Oh, I wish I could say I always ditched the desires, but I don't. And it does. Over the years, I continue to grow in my faith, and things that used to tempt me don't anymore, and I've so many successes, and it's like there's always something new. There's always something new God's allowing because God's never done, he's never finished helping us grow. Wants us to grow. So we must train our roots to reach for truth under all conditions. Happy times, bad times, the roots. And when I'm talking about the roots going down, I'm talking about us, our heart in his word. In his word. That's where truth is found. Got to take preventative measures to hold on to the gift of God's word. Cultivate your faith, increase your depth, extend your roots, or you will, and this is tragedy right here, or if you don't, you will die on the vine at the very moment you were meant to blossom. Because when the heat's turned on and the trials come, that's when you shine. That if your roots go down, that's when everyone says, wow, how are you holding up? Where are you getting this? Oh, my roots are in the Word. You don't say it weird like that. You don't say, my roots are in the Word. You say it in a language that fits the situation. But that's the tragedy right there. Your roots don't go down. You die on the vine at the very moment you're meant to blossom. Jesus goes on, still others. Now there he is in that boat talking, and he knows there's four groups here. Still others. Like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, there's many, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things, good things, come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. It's still there, it's just unfruitful. See, these are those who don't lose their faith, they kind of deceive themselves. They receive it, and I got it. I got God's garden going. But they allow it to be squeezed and choked by everything else until it's rendered absolutely powerless and fruitless. It doesn't do what the word is supposed to do when it's in a person. So beware. Beware of the busyness of the briar patch. Soil test. Our soil might be smothered with thorns. Daily pressures, preoccupations, and problems will always, always, every day tempt us, you, me, tempt us to supplant what is truly important with what is loudly urgent. Amen? I mean, my goodness, that's something we have to stand up to and fight for. Figure out the difference between the loudly urgent and the truly important. In my job here, I've been forced to become kind of an expert on this one because every day it's phone calls and walk-ins and emails of people that have urgent things and important urgent things. And if you don't figure out the difference, you're just going to die because it's a tsunami. It's a wave. Still, it's hard to apply it to my own life. That's a funny thing. I can see it in you guys really easy. I can tell you how to live. And then I go home, and my wife says, "Oh, nice job, Pastor." And so she always calls me Pastor when she's mad at me. Whenever I do something really bad or stupid or I say something I shouldn't, she says, "Oh, thank you, Pastor. That's a good word." Hate that. That's the worst thing she could ever say. She knows it. Well, these are those. Oh, I already said that. Beware. Oh, I already said that. Wow, we're way ahead. We're clear down here. Okay. Wealth isn't bad. Wealth isn't bad, but it is distracting. And you got to know that and beware of that. All families, hobbies, sports, they're good things, right? They bless unless they crowd out and take over and take the place, supplant God's gift. And then that which God gives as a blessing becomes a curse. Anybody here old enough besides me to remember making a landline call? Remember one of these? Anybody? Okay, do you remember getting that recording? "We're sorry, all circuits are busy. Please try your call again later." I hate the call. I hate that recording. Aren't you? I am so glad that's a thing of the past. But here's the thing, God still gets that recording. From you, from me, from us. And I think he hates it more than I used to. How often does God get that automatic recording from your subconscious? "We're sorry. We're sorry. All circuits are busy, so busy. Busy, busy, busy. Please try your call again later when life isn't so busy." God will get that recording from you every day unless... Oh, I worded it different here. I guess I should go off it. God still gets that recording from you if he doesn't have a personally assigned high priority private line. He's got to have the bat phone. He's got to have the red phone, right? And I am an expert on bat phones because I am Bruce Wayne Worsen. God needs, and this really only makes sense to me, but I'm looking at this going, "Oh yeah, he needs the Bruce Wayne phone. Man, that really, I wish you were all named Bruce Wayne. That would really work well for you too." So, do you need to pull some briars from your life? I'll help you out and answer that. Yes. Yes. There just is nobody sitting in this room that would answer no and be honest. It's really about what are they? What are they? Now this, I don't know. Do you need to soften your heart? Maybe, maybe not. Do you need to sink your roots in deeper? Probably all of us do. So let's close here. Beware. Beware the peck, peck, peck that keeps his word from sinking in. And then prepare for the scorching heat of hard times by digging in. It's the only way. It's the only way to prepare. And then declare his rule over all the competing thorns that come creeping in every day. Every day. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you. Help us, God. Help us. We need help with this. Oh, but we love you. And to you and your word, we open our mind, we soften our heart, we surrender our will. Holy Spirit, empower us, we ask, to withstand that peck, peck, peck of the enemy and the heat of adversity and our own competing wealth and worries and distractions and desires. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you for showing us what a truly receptive heart is like and for helping us cultivate one in ourselves. And in your name, everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you,
keep you and make his face shine upon you.